We now come to the final category in the shorter catechism, which is that of prayer. We have been slowly building our pyramid of truth on the foundation of Scripture, what Scripture tells us about God, and then on the basis of what is true of God, then everything else naturally followed. The problem of humanity and the fall, the solution, the remedy in Christ and salvation. The Holy Spirit is the agent of application who takes the benefits of Christ and applies them to us, leading to our justification, sanctification, adoption, and so forth. The Christian life concludes the Catechism, 39 to 107. We can break it down further into the law of God, faith and repentance, and the means of grace, which is where we are right now. All of this been aspects of the Christian life, the ministry of the word, the sacraments and prayer, these three together being ordinances that God has given for the sustaining and flourishing of the church. And question number 98, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. So prayer is directed to God. It is an expression of our desires to God. Desires that are in agreement with the will of God. So that when we are praying for those things of which God approves, God sanctions, and which God commands. We do so in the name of Christ, because it's only in Christ that we have access, with the confession of our sins, and with thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. So we can further look at prayer under several different categories, and I think that that may help to clarify what prayer means in a more comprehensive sense. There are six basic prayer genres that we find in the Bible. And we're going to see these as we work our way through the Lord's Prayer. We can speak of praise, so that there is that immediate praise of God for his attributes and for his works, for who he is and what he's done. There is confession of sin. So Jesus will go on and say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The confession of sin. There is then thanksgiving. Which recognizes that everything that we have, all that we are, all that we have is a gift from God to us. Then there is intercession. Use the word petitions. And then there are prayers of illumination, where we are asking for God to give us understanding of his word. And then there are benedictions. That is, prayers for the blessing of God. So these are the three basic, or rather the six basic prayer genres. Prayer is praise, it's confession, it's thanksgiving, it's petitioning for things, it's prayers for illumination, for understanding of the word by the Holy Spirit, and then blessings or benedictions. And then we can further divide the petitions into five categories. We pray for our sanctification. And we pray for the church and its ministry. We pray for the sick.
pray for the nation, and we pray for the missions world missions.
All right, so you can see that there are a number of different categories into which prayer can be analyzed and described. In fact, if you're paying close attention in the Sunday services, you will see that these are the categories that we cover in our public prayers. We begin a service with praise, and then these prayers, all of these, will typically fall into the so-called pastoral prayer. And then sometimes even this one will break broad into it. This is in connection with the reading and preaching of the scriptures, and then benediction at the conclusion of the service. And you'll hear, if you're listening to the intercessions, you'll hear prayers for us to grow in holiness, for God's blessing upon the ministry of the church, for the sake, for our civil authorities, and for the spread of the gospel around the world. So prayer is, prayer is diverse. There are diverse genres. We can speak of a full diet of prayer being characteristic of our public worship services, and ought to be characteristic of our private prayer life and our prayers when we are gathering as families. I can remember when I was first really began to grow significantly as a Christian, and I was encouraged to start having a private devotional time, closet prayers, we might call them. And somebody gave me a little pamphlet that said 7 minutes with God, and the idea was you spend 3.5 minutes reading the Bible, 3.5 minutes of praying. And I remember thinking, 3.5 minutes, what would I do with all that time? Even that, which today seems to me like a very short period of time, then I thought, well, 3.5 minutes, bow my head and pray for 3.5 minutes, what do I pray for? But if you think about this, you think about all these different categories of prayer, all these different petitions or intercessions that we could be praying, there's a lot. When you begin to go through these, there's a lot of time that should be devoted to prayer in order to be comprehensive in our prayer life. So prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things agreeable to His will. So in all of these prayers, it's always qualified by thy will be done, as we will see. Things agreeable to His will. In the name of Christ, we don't have access to the Father except through the Son. Jesus repeatedly taught us that if we ask for anything in His name, that the Father will hear that prayer and grant it. So I don't have immediate access to God myself. I don't have a right of access to God. I don't have a right to usher myself into His presence and to begin to make demands of Him. And I don't have any confidence that He would be willing to hear my pleas. Because there's no virtue that I have. There's nothing that about me that commends me to Him. So I go to Him not in my name. I go to the Father in the name of the Son. I go to Him in the name of Jesus, with whom He is well pleased. So I go in His name rather than in my own name. A few years back, we had the privilege of going to the Supreme Court and being introduced to Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice that's from the Savannah area. And we met him in the hallway, and he invited us to come in to his office. And we spent about an hour with him talking about all sorts of things, about current politics and about a lot of time spent talking about college football. And the reason why we were able to do that was we went in the name of another person. So if we had walked into the building and we just said, okay, Terry Johnson and his family are here to see Clarence Thomas, we wouldn't have had any time at all with him. He doesn't know us from anyone. But we went in the name of a close friend of his who had called ahead, a man who was very good to Clarence Thomas's mother. And because we went in the name of that other, because we came as a friend of his friend, for the sake of his friend, he was willing to receive us into his office. And so that's the way it is with prayer. We don't come in our own name. We don't come because we have somehow earned or merited the listening ear of Almighty God. We haven't. We don't have that right. We don't have that privilege. We don't have that access. We come in the name of Christ, and because the Father is pleased to hear the name of the Son and hear those requests made in the name of the Son, our prayers are heard. So that's why we conclude all of our prayers in Jesus' name. That's not a little formula that we just tack on at the end. I frequently hear people praying where they just rush through that ending where they're praying along, and then right at the end they say, Jesus' name, amen. Just like that. Jesus' name, amen. You can't even understand what they're saying. They're rushing through the end of the prayer instead of like some kind of a magic formula that gets you in. And just so you say the syllables, then your prayer's being heard. No. In fact, you don't even have to put that at the end of the prayer. If you came at the beginning of the prayer, you said, Father, we come into your presence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the end of the prayer, you just said, amen. That prayer is heard because it's offered in Christ's name. That's the point. And so you shouldn't rush through that at the end. It should rather be expressed. It should be expressed with reverence and carefully, because it's not this formulaic tag on at the end of the prayer. It is that which represents our right of access and our confidence that we're going to be heard. So our prayers are offered in the name of Christ with confession of our sins, as we see, and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies and thanksgiving of our desires. In other words, those are our petitions and intercessions. So number 99, then, what rule has God given for our direction of prayer? The whole word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. In fact, I think in many ways you can see the whole Bible as a prayer book. Years ago, I went and wrote a prayer on the basis of, in the course of over a year, I wrote a prayer on the basis of every chapter in the Bible. I've gone through the Bible a number of times where I've drawn out the language of praise that's found in the Bible, the language of confession, of thanksgiving, the language of illumination, the language of benediction, and where I have identified the things for which we should be petitioning the Father, the things that are important, the ideals that should be realized in our lives, the commands that should be obeyed, and praying for holiness and so forth. So the whole Word of God informs us as to the content of our prayer and the structures of our prayers. The whole Word of God is of use to direct us in our prayer, but the special rule of direction is that form of prayer, which Christ taught his disciples commonly called the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is the ideal prayer. It is both a prayer to be repeated and a model prayer. It is a model in that it outlines for us the major topics that should be prayed when we pray. It gives us an order for the prayer, a logic to the prayer, our prayers. So it's both a prayer that we use. You think again about our public services. We use the Lord's Prayer every Sunday morning. In many churches we do the same thing. That's because Jesus intended it to be used in worship. But it's also, and perhaps even more importantly, not just a prayer to be used and repeated, but it is a model. It gives us a structure for prayer. It gives us an idea of what the ideal prayer looks like. It is a form that we can follow ourselves. And over the centuries, a number of different Christian leaders have written out elaborations on the Lord's Prayer, expanding on each line of the Lord's Prayer in order to build a comprehensive prayer based on the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is what we're going to be studying from question number 100 to the end of the catechism. We're setting it as the model prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. When you pray, pray like this, he says. So here's the model, and we're going to look at each line and try to pull from it all the meaning that Jesus would have us understand.